we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning, everybody. How are you today? My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God on 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And coming up on 24 years of being the pastor there, coming up on the third anniversary that we've been here on the air on WMIE 91.5 FM. And it's been quite an enjoyable experience. I hope that you enjoy us bringing the Word of God into your radio, car, home, wherever you may be listening. I pray that it is a blessing to you. So with that in mind, I want to say thank you to a family that has been at Merritt Assembly of God longer than I have. There's only a couple of them that are still alive, and Jits Concrete, 536-5804, the Anderson family, they do concrete and block work, and they do a fantastic job. If you need someone to do a job for you, give them a call. It will be a blessing in your life. Tonight is our Women of Worth meeting at Merritt Assembly of God. That's going to be taking place 6:30. Fellowship dinner, 7 o'clock dinner. That is coming up. We also have our Refresh Brevard Conference 2016. That is coming up. It's not really got workshops or anything. It's just more or less a spiritual emphasis week to prepare us for going into the holidays. How many of you would like to go into Thanksgiving thankful? How many of you would like to go into this new season in 2017 filled up with the Word of God, filled up with the Spirit of God? And so those things are coming up here in just a couple of weeks. We will be sharing emerging details about that here in the coming days. With that said, I want to take you today in the Word of God to Isaiah 42. We're going to be looking in verses 13 through 16 today. Isaiah 42, 13 through 16. And let me begin reading in verse number 13. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands. I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. I want to share with you what it's like when God begins to act. There's a lot of things that God does here in this passage. And so you and I, if we're going to cry out and ask God to intervene in our lives, in our homes, in our physical well-being, if we're going to ask him to be involved in a directive manner in our worship services, in our county, in our government, we need to understand that he's not there to be our lapdog. He's there to be God. God's not interested in just being a part of your life. He wants to be the Lord of your life. I know that that does not sound popular in our current culture, but it is still the case. He is the living Lord. He is the living God, and we should put our trust in him. We have been discussing Psalm 91 on our Wednesday nights. And if you are available Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock from 7 to 7:45, we get into that psalm. There are tremendous promises in that passage. There are also personal responsibilities that are prerequisite if we are going to walk in the supernatural favor and the blessing that God covenants with us in Psalm 91. So if you would like to be a part of that, come on out Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for our family night. So let's look and see what happens here. It says, "The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies." This is a picture of a battle mindset. I want to take you back to a movie that I saw. I watched it. It's a really old movie. And I realized in all of the biblical movies that I had watched that there were some things in there that are not correct. There was this movie about David and Goliath, and it was more about David, and David and Goliath was part of the movie, and it showed that when David and Goliath were doing battle, that Goliath was prevailing and David was in retreat and just happened to fling a stone in desperation, and it struck Goliath in the forehead and he knocked him down and he went over and overpowered him and killed him. That's not the way it happened. It says that David ran to Goliath. He wasn't running from the battle. He was running to the battle. And so for all of you who have served our country, we want to thank you for running to engage the enemy. For those of you who serve in law enforcement and the fire department and emergency personnel, we want to thank you for being proactive and running to engage, not running in fear. So I want to say thank you to that today. And God, when you and I call upon his name, he comes into the situation and he is coming to win. Now, he goes out and all with his entire military arsenal to fight his enemies. I really like that. "He shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war." You see, they told David, said, "David, you can't go into the battle because you are just a young person and Goliath has been their champion. He's been a man of war since his youth." That meant at one point in time, Goliath had to have fought his first battle. And they were telling David, "You're too young to fight your first battle." I'm here to tell you today that you are not too young and you are not too old to get engaged in the battle. If God is going to be fully engaged in the battle, should we not therefore be with him? But when God comes, he fights and he fights to win. He brings his word. And so we need to hide the word of God in our heart. It is our best weapon. So how about this Monday, rather than having, you know, the mindset that some of us have on Mondays from time to time of saying, "Oh, well, I'm just going to hope to survive." Why don't we go out and say, "God, conquer this day for your glory. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because of what you have done, I will rejoice." I encourage you to read Psalm 118 and look at the passages that lead up to say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in." You will see that the reason that we can do that is because of the work that Christ has done. Christ did not go to the cross a defeated foe. He went there as an intentional warrior to gain victory over death, hell, and the grave. He did not just happen to be taken prisoner and be beaten, because it was prophesied in Isaiah, we haven't come to this passage yet, that talked about that by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah was looking into the future through the vision that God had given to him, saw what had taken place, and he said, "There's healing in those stripes." Jesus received those intentionally for you and I. God is not a directionless vagabond, if you will. He doesn't just meander throughout the day. He intentionally sets his course and he goes to win. You can ask every one of my children, and I taught them the way that my parents taught me, and that is this: if you beat me, it will be because you've earned it. I'm not giving you a victory. We had a youth ministry when my son was growing up, and at one point in time we had a ping pong table. And I would just start off destroying my son as in ping pong matches, 21 to nothing, 21 to 1, 21 to 2. We'd just play. And what happened was I would be playing him, and at the better he got, the deeper into my bag of tricks that I had to go. And then pretty soon it wasn't me dominating him. It would be him dominating until the very end of the game, and he would get within 1 or 2 points, and then all of a sudden I would come roaring back. And what was taking place was there was me digging down deep and saying, okay, what can I do with this that I haven't already done? And there was something inside of him, and it says, I just know that he's going to come back and beat me, because I've never beaten him yet. And the first day that he ever beat me, the hands go flying up in the air, and he said, I did it. I remember the time that my brother and I first beat my dad playing golf. It was an end of an era, we said, except for he's in his 70s, and just about once a year he has a round that he plays really, really good and I don't, and he can still beat me on occasion now, and I'm in my 50s. I want to encourage you. Don't be just waiting for something to fall into your lap, but say, God, if you are attacking this problem like a man of war, I want to be as motivated as that as well. So let's go to win. If we're just going to be messing around, I'm not interested in that. If we're just going to have church just so that we have something to do on Sunday morning, I'm not interested in that. But if we're about seeing people in captivity set free, people who are broken being healed, people who are dead in their trespasses and sin experiencing resurrection power in Jesus Christ, I'm all in for that. If we're about seeing disciples made and people baptized for the glory of God, I'm all in for that. If we're about partnering with God to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, I'm all in. I'm not just about sitting around in a circle singing kumbaya. Doesn't do it for me. Verse number 14, I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I want to tell you that there are some people who struggle with portions of my personality. I recently took one of those personality profile tests. A DISC exam was what this one was called. I had never taken that one before. And what it basically, it nailed me pretty good. And the person that was administering the test, he said, well, actually the test didn't identify you as this, you did. And I finally got a little bit more understanding as days went on as to why they worded the questions the way that they did. But it pretty accurately portrayed my personality. It said that I fall into the steadiness category. And it said, you don't necessarily like confrontation, but you can do it. And he said, you probably allow things to build up for a long time. Now, I want to tell you that where my personality is that, where I will extend mercy, but there comes a time when the file cabinet is full. Another preacher put it this way, that the file cabinet gets full and you'd go and shut the door and all of a sudden everything comes out. And so this person who's helping me to grow said, what I want to encourage you to do is deal with those things as they come up. Don't let it build up inside of you. God is long-suffering. God believes in you. He believes in me. He was very patient with me. And he's very patient with you. He's very patient with the people. See, God's first reaction is not to just wipe everybody off of the face of the earth. That's not his, that's his course of last action. Course of last resort. He wants people everywhere to come to forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ. He said, I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. So when God comes in with a mighty, like a mighty warrior, one of the things that he is going to do is he's going to begin to speak and address the issues. Do you realize that if we stop communicating with people, we're going to stop growing closer to them. We're going to become more distant with them. And that's not going to result in a closer relationship. It's going to result in a fractured, dying, afflicted relationship, torturous relationship. So we need to communicate with one another. So let me just address something here, and that is, if you are having disagreements with a person, or as I call them, moments of intense fellowship, have a few ground rules, okay? A few ground rules are this: stay on topic. Stay on topic. Don't go pulling things out of the past. We remember on Friday we talked about, and let me just flip over the page. Behold, the former things have come to pass. You should have already dealt with those things. You know, my wife and I have been married for over 30 years. It would be stupid on my part to go back and say, hey, remember what you did 2 months into our marriage when you burned dinner on the stove? She doesn't do that. She's a very good cook. Very, very rarely in our life has she ever burned dinner. It's happened on occasion, but then again, I've burned a few things on the grill too. Don't go pulling things back out of the ancient and medieval history books. Don't be pulling things out of the archived hard drive from 3 computers ago. Stay on topic. Stay on topic. Don't be giving people the silent treatment. God doesn't give you the silent treatment. We give him the silent treatment way too often. Don't do that. Instead, talk. We need to speak to the situation. Now, back to this point here in verse number 14. I have held my peace a long time. Let's let God speak. I think our country would be a lot better off if we would, instead of trying to silence God and the Word of God and unleash every new voice that comes along, I think we would be better off if we flip that equation on its ear and say, God, you speak, I'm going to shut up and listen. Okay? So God says, I'm coming to wage war, and I'm not going to be silent. I'm going to speak to the situation, and I'm going to address the issues. If I were to ask you right now, what is the one area of your life? There may be more, but what's one area of life that God is speaking to you about addressing? You know, I don't know how you go through life, whether you just push things away and then you try and deal with the whole thing all at once. That can get overwhelming. I've got a number of things that I'd like to do construction wise, you know, as far as renovating and fixing some issues here and there, things that have fallen apart and I need to put them back together. There's a whole litany, a whole list of things that need to be done, but there's got to be a first thing. There has to be an order. There has to be a sequence. So what is it that God is speaking to you about putting that in order? See, if he's going to do battle, he does it with his word. He does it with his voice. If you look in Revelation, when Jesus comes from heaven, he comes and there's a sword that pierces out of his mouth. It emerges out of his mouth. It is with that word that comes forth from his throne, that word of authority and power, that it goes forth and it conquers and vanquishes all the armies of the earth, that have gathered against. He said, I have been still and restrained myself. I have been still and restrained myself. You do realize that there's no government that can mandate against God. There's no army powerful enough to overcome him. The United Nations could pass regulations banning the, you know, God from the public sphere. And I'm telling you, God will exist long after the United Nations has ceased to be. United Nations is not the first attempt at that. It was just the latest attempt. And if it becomes dysfunctional, it will pass into the history books and God will still be victorious. God is long-suffering. He's restrained himself. And I want to encourage you, when he says he's going into battle, he's going with intensity. He says, now is a different matter. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and dry up all their vegetations. I will make the rivers coastlands and I will dry up the pools. But God's, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being in the labor delivery room when a baby was being born. I was there for all three of mine. And I learned something after the second one. I don't think I learned it quite as much the first time, but I went into the labor room, and during one of those contractions, my wife reached up and she grabbed hold of my hand and she squeezed like a vice grip. I've never known her to squeeze harder than she did that day. And I was, she grabbed my left hand, which is the where my wedding ring is. And as she was squeezing, that ring was being compressed and digging into the bones of my finger. But do you think that would have been the right time to say, honey, don't squeeze my hand so hard. You're hurting me. That would not have been the time to say that. So whenever I am dealing with couples about the transition in their life, they're getting ready to have kids, and when they're getting ready to go into the delivery room, I tell them, hey, guys, just a small word of warning, take your ring off, put it in your pocket so that when she grabs your hand, you are there to support her. You're not distracted by your own inconvenience, because I guarantee you your pain doesn't compare to hers. At that point in time, it is all about getting that person through the pain that they are going through. There is a new reality that is getting ready to come into pass. In one of the deliveries, I don't remember which one, because now they're all adults and it's been 2 decades and more, almost 3 decades for some of them. And there was a person, one of the nurses said, she's going into transition. She's transitioning from carrying the baby to delivering the baby. She's transitioning from this one stage to a completely new reality. And that's what God says here. I'm coming and I am going to not try and be quiet about it. I'm not going to, when I'm doing it, it's going to be a very public demonstration of my power, of my might, and my victory. Listen, God is not looking to just be something tucked away in your little curio cabinet. He is looking to be on public display in your life and my life. And when we allow him to do that, he changes our atmosphere. Doesn't the presence of God change your reality? It causes things that looked like they were going to flood and overwhelm you, all of a sudden they're dried up and they're gone. There's an old song. I talked on Friday about some of the old songs that said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The presence of God changes us and it changes our atmosphere. It causes fear to be banished and faith to come in. Anxiety goes out the door and peace comes. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast on you. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Let's let God change our atmosphere. It says mountains, they're going to be impacted. Things that produced crops, there it's going to be impacted. He's going to create a whole new reality, not just for us, but for our enemies. Things that the enemy used to gloat about is now going to be devastated, and that which used to be our shame will now be transformed into a fruitful place. What's your atmosphere like? We're here on a Monday. Maybe you had a great weekend. Maybe yours was a little challenging. Maybe it was devastating. Why don't we ask God to change that atmosphere? I know we've got a couple of minutes here, but let me just close out today by praying for whatever you and I are going through right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we ask you right now, in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, do not be silenced. Do not be marginalized in our life. Lord, we ask you today to come in powerfully. Come in like a mighty man of war. God, come and speak to our situation. Speak to our enemies. Lord, our words will be amen to your promises. We cry out to you, whether it's physical situations or spiritual situations, addictions or strongholds of the enemy. We pray that you would come and you would do battle and you would set captives free right now in the name of the Lord. I pray, God, that where we have not heard your voice before, that we will hear you crying out that you have engaged the enemy and the enemy will not be victorious. He will be defeated in Jesus' name. I pray that today would be a pivotal moment in the battle. Lord, that the tide would turn against the enemy, that the Spirit of the Lord would come in and beat him back in Jesus' name. I pray that the discouraged would be filled with joy. I pray that the hopeless would be filled with the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would hear you. I am here. I am speaking. I am acting on your behalf. Lord, I pray that strongholds of the enemy would be devastated. In Jesus' name, I pray that we would put on the garment of praise. In Jesus' name, Lord, that discouragement would be banished. Lord, I pray that people would be lifted up right now in Jesus' name as they see you waging battle on our behalf. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like a